And let's take out our Bibles and turn to the psalm that I just referred to just a little bit ago, and that is Psalm 97. Psalm 97. If you're using that pew Bible that is located in front of you, you are going to find that psalm right about in the middle of the Bible on page number 934. Page number 934. Now, if we have any folks here tonight who camped with me at Timberley, and I see a few of you out here, on the Sunday morning at Timberley, we do have a little worship service there, and I do a little bit of a message, and I did a message on this very psalm. Psalm 97, so I only say that to those who were there, that if some of this sounds a little bit familiar, you're not crazy, you have heard it before. And what I did there for that particular context, it was wonderful, it was good, it was to the point, and it was for that particular audience, so to say. Book of Psalms is absolutely my favorite book in the whole Bible, and I have psalms in it that are my favorites, and this happens to be one of my favorites. So even after doing that there at Timberley and in kind of a shortened format, I thought, you know what, I can't just let that be my only crack at that. There is more to be mined there. So I thought, I'm going to use this opportunity to take some of what I said there and to expand it. And so those of you who were there, it's not all the same. You're going to hear some new stuff. and that's always the wonderful riches of God's Word, that we can always keep studying it, always keep reading, and God is always opening up different things to us. As we read and as he speaks to us, so tonight the psalm and I tailored it towards the audience that I was particularly expecting here tonight. So I think you're going to find it very edifying tonight as we look at these words. Psalm 97, a beautiful psalm of praise to our God. I love these words. Hear them as I read them. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. All who worship images, they are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, goes along with the phrase before, those are put to shame. Worship him, worship God, the true God, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. For he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Scripture. Please do keep your Bibles open as we move through these verses together, as well as a few other ones that I want to look at tonight. Well, one of the particular reasons why I really like this psalm is because of a song by Michael W. Smith that's on one of his worship albums. And in that song, the song is titled "Let It Rain." And in that song, and it's a chorus, and it repeats itself. Let it rain, let it rain. And then in about the middle of the song, it's a live version of it, there's a pastor that comes in, and he has a foreign accent, which is really quite cool. And he reads these words about the Lord reigning, about the clouds and the thick darkness, the righteousness and the justice, and the fire going before. And he paints that picture, and it's almost as if you are right there seeing all of this glory before the Lord. And it's like the worship of, and it's booming, and it bursts into, and then he says, and all people see his glory. And that's where he ends, and it bursts into these songs of let it rain. It's booming, and it's palpable. And it's like you can reach out and touch and feel the worship of God, the worship of a living God. And that's why I really like this psalm, because it really paints that picture for us. It paints a beautiful picture about the reign of God and what that might look like, and what in words that we can see and words that we can understand. What this is called a theophany. And what a theophany is, and we see them all throughout Scripture, it is a visual manifestation of a deity, a God, to human beings. Again, we see them all throughout Scripture. See them right away in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, God, the deity, God walks with Adam and Eve. They're able to converse together. They have a relationship together. God there, he manifests himself to Adam and Eve. And we also see one with Moses. The story that you're probably very familiar with, Moses and the burning bush. And there God speaks, Moses sees this bush that's not burning up. And he goes over to take a look at it. And there God speaks to him out of that bush. That is called a theophany. It is God there manifesting himself to a human being. In this place, it is Moses. And there God gives him a name to be referred by. And it is the name I Am. Because Moses says if they ask, and he's obviously telling Moses that he's going to go and set the people free. And Moses says, well, if they ask who's sending me, he says, tell them that I am sent you. That name I am. Keep that in mind as we get into Psalm 97. But especially tonight for Psalm 97, because we see it kind of relating back to that, I want to look at one in particular. And that's the theophany that we see at Mount Sinai. So I hope you have your Bibles open and turn to Exodus chapter 19. Because I want you to see these verses, because you're going to see them again in Psalm 97. So Exodus chapter 19, as soon as I have the page number for you, I will let you know. And I am right around page 116. Yes, page number 116. Exodus 19, verses 16 and 19. Again, we're looking at this as an example of a theophany, the visual manifestation of a deity to human beings. Look at what God does here. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning. All right, you recognize those words from Psalm 97. Here are some more words from there. With a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Verse number 17. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Verse number 18. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. That's where we see this theophany. We see God manifesting himself, not only to Moses, but also to all the people who are gathered there. We see that carried over into Psalm 97. You can return back there now. And this psalm, a beautiful psalm, this psalm is, it's for us. All right, plain and simple, this psalm is for us. Because right there in verse number 10, it says, let those who love the Lord. So if you are a lover of the Lord, a lover of God, which I'm assuming all of us in here are tonight, this psalm is for you. This psalm is for us. It is for those that God has called to be his people, and we are returning that favor to God with love and worship to him. So this psalm is for us. Now, before I told you to remember that name that was given to Moses of God, that I am. Some commentators, as they are translating this, as you see there, right there in the first verse where it says the Lord, and it says it throughout, verse number 9 is popping out at me, for you, Lord. Instead of using the word Lord, they're using that name, I am. And I really like that. Because that really carries that through from that theophany that was given to Moses, carried over into here. Because we do not, in this psalm, we do not want to forget. All right? We do not want to forget. We don't want to lose sight of who we're talking about. Okay? Because in this psalm, and maybe you've seen it already, we're going to get to it in a little bit. Because in this psalm, the I am, God, is going to have some competition that we're going to have to talk about. So this is a psalm of encouragement and confidence. And I hope that you feel that tonight as we continue to move through this psalm. I want you to feel encouraged. I want you to feel confident. And how can you not feel encouraged and confident where in the very first words are, the Lord reigns. And then the very next words, let the earth be glad. We are people living on earth. Why would we not be glad as well? Why would we not join the earth in being glad? The Lord reigns. Be glad. That is encouragement and confidence. Now looking at verses 1 through 5, and there's a lot of powerful imagery in there. And I alluded to that before as to why I particularly like all of that, because I think it really paints the picture and you can almost see it in your mind's eye. But all of that in verses 1 to 5, for those who love the Lord, those who love Yahweh, I am the I am, these are not words to fear. All right, this is not something to fear because this is God's rule overall. So why then is this a comfort? Why should this psalm be a comfort and encouragement to us? Well, because when life is chaotic and when life is spinning out of control, I hope you're like me and that I want to know that God is ruling, that God is on the throne, that God is in control. Now, those of you who know me and know my family know that we are a lover of riding roller coasters. All right, we have ridden lots of roller coasters. Okay, because we enjoy going to Six Flags Great America and riding roller coasters. Now, as I think about riding roller coasters, and as I think about the roller coaster harness, okay, and on the roller coasters that really take you on a wild ride, you get this big harness that comes over you. Okay, and you get strapped in, and it comes over, and it presses up against you. All right, now when that comes down, and it gets pressed up against you, and they come through, and they check, they make sure everything is all tight, nice, and snug, Some would fear that. Okay, they would say, well, if I'm getting strapped in this tightly, this snugly, what's going to happen to me? And just because of that experience, they're fearing what is going to happen. What is this going to be like? Now, to others, that harness coming over and gently snugging you in, it's a comfort. It's a comfort because what you're saying, and I'm one of those where that is a comfort, because I'm about to go on a wild ride. And it's going to have twists and turns, and I am being held in there in that seat by something that is secure. All right, now lots of roller coaster enthusiasts, they ride, they go all over and riding different roller coasters. We're not quite that adventurous, all right? We tend to ride the same roller coasters over and over and over again. Sometimes I even wonder why we stand in line for a long time to ride a roller coaster that we've probably already ridden maybe 100 times already. Seems a little silly, but we continue to do it for the thrill of the ride and that feeling of security. I want to take that and say that it is the same way with God. The lives that we live, and as I look over our audience here tonight, there are lots of years that are represented here tonight. Our lives, as you know because you've lived them, and we continue to live them, our lives are filled with twists and turns. But we get up every day, and we say the same words as the psalmist says, "The Lord reigns." Because those words are a comfort to us. To get up in the morning and say, "The Lord, Yahweh, I am, reigns," is a comfort, because we don't know, and you know this as well, we don't know what lies ahead of us. We don't know the twists and the turns that we might come upon. But we can say with confidence, "The Lord reigns." In the 1990s, when I began really listening more and more to Christian music, and as I renewed my interest in that, there was a song by Twyla Paris, and it was called "God is in Control." Just a couple lines from that that really continue to strike me even to this day. That God is in control. We believe that His children will not be forsaken. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. That is this comfort and assurance that we have, that the Lord reigns. It is a comfort and encouragement. Now, as I said before, Yahweh, I am, the Lord, is going to have some competition. And we see that in verses 6 through 9. Look at what the psalmist writes. He says, "The heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all peoples see His glory." That sounds majestic, and that sounds definitive. That is a surety right there, that all people see His glory. But then we see in the very next verse that yes, all people see His glory, but not all people worship Him. Because look at verse number 7. "All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols." And then he says, "Worship Him, worship the Lord, all you gods." We don't know if these are real gods or if they're false gods, if they're literal or if they're metaphorical. But here's the point, and the point is very simple that the psalmist is making. Because the psalmist goes through great extents here to really paint the picture of the Lord reigning, and then just a few little lines about these idols, these other gods, these false gods. The point is simple. These gods are empty. These idols are empty. The heavens themselves declare God's glory. And that is where we see the one true God reigning. Now, I'd like for us to see an example about how Isaiah looks at this and describes what it looks like to worship empty, false idols. Turn to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. You're going to want to go forward in your Bible. And you're going to turn to page 1135. Okay, keep your finger in Psalm 97. We're going to be coming back there. Isaiah 46. Again, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And one of the reasons is, for some reason, we did a lot of work with this passage in seminary. So I really remember it. And so whenever I read about false gods in the Bible and idols, I'm always drawn to this passage. Because he's reporting and recording what he's seeing happening right in front of him. And it's really kind of a neat description here. Okay, look at chapter 46, verse number 1. Baal. That is a Babylonian deity. All right? He says, Baal bows down. Nebo, the same thing. Okay, it's a Babylonian deity. Okay, a false god. Stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. What's happening here is that he's watching these idols, these images, being carried away because they were, for some reason, they were being moved from one place to another. So what they've done, they've taken these idols and they've strapped them onto horses or donkeys, or they're in a wagon, and they're not strapped on very tight. So as the horse or the donkey is moving forward and it's going over rough ground, these idols, they're bobbing all over the place. All right? So you can almost picture that in your mind. Maybe long ago, there were milk cans from the farm that they would be carrying, and you can see these things kind of bobbing around, things that were not tied down very tightly. But that's what's happening, and that's what the writer is seeing happening. So that's why he says, "Baal bows down, Nebo stoops low as these things bob around." Their idols are borne by beasts of burden, by these horses or by these donkeys. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. And then verse number 2, they stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden, they themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs. I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. See the comparison there. These false gods, they can't even control themselves. They're just being bobbed around. They're so weak. All right? Compare that with the true God who says, I am he, I will sustain you. This is a powerful God, and this is a God that is involved in our lives, involved in your life, involved in my life, because he says, I am with you, I will sustain you, I have made you, and I will carry you. See the difference there. The false idols, they were being carried by something else. The true God carries his own people. Because the true God is powerful. The true God is strong. Skip down to verse number 8. Remember this. Keep it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Our God is the one true God. We sing songs of worship where we sing about our God is the true God. There's no God higher than our God. There's no God greater than our God. There is where we are claiming, we are making a claim that this one true God is our God because he has claimed us to be his people. And we're not being claimed by these false idols. We're being claimed by the one who can carry us. So flip back to Psalm 97. Flip back to Psalm 97. Because it says, because as you see in verse number 7, all who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols, worship him, all you gods. All right? So God, the true God, is destroying these weak idols. Destroys these weak idols and allows for only worship of him. For you, Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. So all of this points to Christ. All of this points to Christ as the ultimate King of Kings, the one who will reign victorious, the one who will come to take his people back to be with him. This is what it points to, Jesus, the living King. Now it ends with a commitment here to the command of God's and for us as Christians to the commands of Christ. As I said before, this is for verse number 10, let those who love the Lord, this is for us, this psalm is for us. It says, let us hate evil. And then it also calls us to pursue, to love and to pursue righteousness. Because this is how we worship God. And this is how we embody the very character of Christ. So as we serve the living God and as we serve his Son, Jesus Christ, let us serve and love God who cares so deeply for each and every one of us. So it is, again, my prayer tonight that this psalm encourages and sustains us in our worship of the one true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, powerful God, the Lord reigns. And may we not only say that in the morning when we rise, but also in the evening when we lay down. For you know our every coming and going. You know everything about us. And that does not scare us. That does not give us fear. But rather that comforts us and encourages us. Because you reign. The Lord reigns. You watch over us. You direct our ways. And when things that come upon us that we don't understand and we can't make sense of, we trust in your guiding hand that you will do things, that you will turn them for our good. God, that takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of trust. But we don't put our faith and our trust in empty, vain, weak idols. We put our faith in the living God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.